Well, friends, welcome to our new worship series, Gem of Grace. Yeah, fun. I did not make that bumper. Andy Whitaker Smith did, and Ina, like, jamming out to it. Sorry, like, made my week. Thank you. But you, like, may have wondered, like, what's all this random workout equipment doing in our altar? Like, that it's for our new worship series. So that is what this is all about. So I think it was Sarah in our worship planning meeting who made a joke that I should preach this first sermon on a treadmill, because you may or may not know this about me, but I'm a runner and I've ran 2 marathons. Thank you. That's so nice. It's been a few years, but thank you. But anyway, right, I have a confession for you. There is no way on God's green earth I could do that this morning. And let me explain to you what happened. So I was doing good. I was training to do a half marathon this year, and I had gotten there. Like, if you've ever done a half marathon, you know, once you hit, like, the 10-mile mark, you're good. They say the rest 3 miles will come to you on race day. So I was there. And then my feet were knocked out from under me because I got the flu. If anyone got the flu this season, it was a bad one. So my lung capacity was shot and my fatigue was strong, and that lingered way after the fact. I remember the first time I got out to do a run after the flu, I struggled to even run for 15 minutes and I had to walk the rest of the time. So here I am, starting back at square one, trying to work back up to actually running a 5K. Like, I've walked that distance, but I need to run it again and then a 10K and get back up to that place. So I say this as an example of ebbing and flowing in the practice of running, because it happens. We ebb and flow in our fitness and endurance. It happens to all of us. Life happens and it throws you off course. You have to find what works for you and start again. So we find ourselves using in this series this analogy of fitness, of strengthening, of training, of workouts and practices compared to our spiritual life. And so sometimes, similarly, life throws us off course. What worked for us before doesn't work for us now, and we have to start again with our practices. Sometimes we all need a reminder, a retuning, a strengthening, and accountability. And sometimes we all have to start somewhere. We may be in that place today. We all have to start somewhere. And from all of those aspects, this is like a workout routine in that sense. So the idea we have here is that we have spent all of Lent getting to know who Jesus is and the teachings of Jesus. And now we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what it means to follow Jesus in these spiritual practices. The nuts and bolts of what it means to grow as a disciple and what that looks like in our Wesleyan framework. Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, called all of this means of grace. And what does that mean? Well, this all means that these are practices that we are going to talk about. They're ways we experience God's grace in order that we grow in our faith. It's ways we experience what he called God's sanctifying grace, which is a word that means ways in which we experience that grace to grow to be like Christ each and every day. Little by little, workout by workout, if you will, rep by rep. And so today we're focusing on 3 practices: prayer, scripture reading, and fasting. And you might be wondering, well, how do these go together, and is that too much for one sermon? But these are all practices about our individual connection to God. Wesley called them acts of individual piety. Prayer helps us connect to God. Reading the scriptures helps us connect to God. And fasting, although sometimes confusing, often misunderstood, helps us connect to God. And all of those are vital parts of our discipleship. So Paul talks about this in Romans. Our scripture reading for today is from chapter 15, starting in verse 1. We who are strong enough ought to put up with the fallings of those who are weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that by the steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the ancestors, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. So in this passage here, Paul is talking about how our connection to God is the lifeblood from which our discipleship flows. It's helpful for us to think about the book of Romans from its perspective and from its purpose. So the book of Romans was written by Paul to a church he wanted to visit but never could. So it's this introduction and explanation of the core Christian theology he would have normally given in person, but he just couldn't because he never made it there. All the basics, all the core, all the important stuff on how to know, how to be a Christian, how to live in Christian community, how Christians should act in the world, how they should respond to persecution, all of that stuff. It was like this introductory, this primer, all listed out in this letter. So Paul is reminding them that the core of Christian community and service to the world is this unity. It is this strength that is found in a relationship with Christ. And that unity and strength, where is it acquired? He says it's in the encouragement of the scriptures. So it's saying that it's the core of our life and the core of our call, the core of our discipleship, to live in service to our neighbor, to live in harmony and unity of Christian community, to find and follow the example of Christ. And so to do that, friends, we have to keep this connection alive. We have to keep this connection to God vibrant. We have to keep this connection viable. And this connection is nurtured by those spiritual practices. This connection is nurtured by the means of grace that Wesley outlined for us. As we find ways to see the encouragement and hope and steadfastness of the scriptures, the strength and the hope of God in our lives through prayer, that connection strengthened through fasting, we are better able to love our God and serve our neighbor. That is just the way it works, dear friends. So given that we're talking about these practices, we're going to do a little bit about the nuts and bolts, going through and talking about what each one of these practices looks like this morning. And why do they matter? And I'll start with fasting, which is the most misunderstood one. So just like any spiritual practice, hear me here, just like any spiritual practice, fasting is something that is meant to be contextualized in a way that is meaningful and doable for you. Do not do this in a way that harms your health, please. You might deepen a prayer practice by fasting. Maybe it's from food for a certain part of the day. Maybe it's just from a certain type of food that is a sacrifice for you. Maybe instead of food, it's fasting from an activity, like your cell phone, like from social media, for a certain time of the day, for a certain number of days. So, for example, when I notice myself getting off kilter, particularly when I notice myself overworked and overburdened, I like to try to fast from checking my emails after 8 p.m. I notice that really, really helps me. It's a practice meant to strengthen your connection with God, not some mysterious ritual done for weird or wrong or harmful reasons. The next scripture reading and prayer are practices that we can and we should, as best as we can, get in the daily habit of. Things that can help us nurture and deepen that connection to God. Paul shared that it is in the scriptures we find the steadfastness and we find the encouragement of God to find our help and hope in the world. Prayer, as Elaine Heath, who is a professor at Duke Divinity School, says, is the essence of our relationship and connection to God. She says that prayer, quote, is a practice of being present to God. So there is no right or wrong way to work into getting this as a daily habit, but we are going to provide some support to help you this week. So this week on our current Facebook page, so if you're on Facebook and you haven't liked that page yet, I invite you to, because this week I'm going to be leading a scripture reading and a prayer time at different times throughout this week to encourage us to engage in this practice together. But, friends, whether you take the time to engage and read and meditate on a verse, or on a passage, or as John Wesley recommended, a book of the Bible, if you're able to do that, kudos to you. Or if you want to take on the challenge of reading through the entire Bible in a year, or anything in between, you can find meaningful ways to engage in this spiritual discipline that make sense for you. But friends, we are going to close with a specific prayer practice together called Lectio Divina. We've done this before in the current, but it's been a while. Lectio Divina is called a divine reading. It's a way to combine prayer and scripture reading because it's a way of praying through the scriptures. So I found it life-giving, spiritually forming when I am in need. So Brandon's got some nice meditative music going for us, and I'm going to give us some instruction. So here is how it goes. I've got a section of the Romans scripture from today kind of picked out for us, and I'll be reading through that scripture twice slowly. So during this time, you will be prayerfully meditating on the scripture. So while I am reading, you are prayerfully meditating. And here's what you're doing. You're seeking a word or a phrase that sticks out to you. So while I'm reading, you're looking for a word or a phrase that sticks out to you. And when you find that word or that phrase that resonates with you, you want to sit and you want to meditate on that word or phrase. So the next part of the practice will be silent reflection on your word or phrase. You'll be thinking about what that word or phrase is speaking into your life and how you might apply it. And so finally, friends, we will close with a simple prayer together to end our time, to finish this time of Lectio, and those words will appear on our screen so that way we might engage in that together. But friends, may we hear this word, and may you be seeking that word or phrase in which God is speaking to you. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore,
just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. And friends, next let us take some time for silent reflection as Brandon plays for us. You may decide to keep your eyes open, eyes closed. We're thinking about our word and phrase and how you might apply it to your own life. Finally, friends, let us close in prayer together with our words on our screen. Thank you, God of love and grace, for this word from Scripture for my life today. May I be faithful to follow as you call. Amen. And so, friends, whether this is a prayer practice that is meaningful to you or some other way, may you take those times to engage in these practices, these ways of nurturing that connection to God. For it is God who seeks to be in relationship with us. God who meets us in lots of different means, in different ways. And for that, thanks be to God. So friends, we thank you for joining us in this time of worship today. We pray that it has been meaningful to you. And so as we prepare to go from this place, hear this benediction. May you know that God's grace is with you wherever you are on this journey, wherever you are in this time of strengthening, of trying out those practices. God is with you on that journey. So may we go to keep that connection to God alive, to grow in grace, so that we may share that grace with God's world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.